Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I was telling this story earlier, the beginning of the hour, that one of my favorite moments in Chicago, at least in bars, was when I would get my good jeans on. You know, maybe something cool like a rayon collar. I don't want to get too crazy, but and I would, my roommates and I would pile into the car and go over to the Sunday night at Elba Room to see Liquid Soul. And spinning would always be, the band would, you know, the band was playing and there'd be a DJ, and the DJ was Jesse De La Pena. And it was, I was just like, oh man, I am in the right spot. Look at all these people. There's so many people. It was party time. It feel like anyone who actually had that experience at the Elba Room at that time, whoever remembers that, you feel like this kinship. You feel this connection. And one of the guys who put that together is in studio tonight, Jesse De La Pena. This is for that. This is my applause to you for that amazing show 20 years ago. Good to see you, man.
It's very good to see you. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
I see you online, but it's good to see you in person.
I know,
the
right?
The old-fashioned way we used to do it.
Jesse De La Pena is one of the best DJs working in Chicago. He's currently starting a residency at the Debonair Social Club, a monthly show called Backtrack, Chicago's original old-school party. Debonair Social Club is 1575 North Milwaukee. The first one is tomorrow night in Wicker Park. Check that out. He's also a music curator at Vocalo 91.1. He also does the Friday night DJ series. Also does a 5 o'clock rush hour DJ series for Vocalo. You got a lot going on. Jesse, great to see you. Thanks for being here, man.
It's always good to see you, Justin.
Okay, so let's talk about Backtrack, because I'm interested. You know, you have done so much in your career when it comes to DJing, not only on the radio, but in the clubs. Talk about your what kind of music you like to spin.
Well, you know, as I get older, it's kind of one of those things where whatever I can, as long as I can do me. And that, you know, that means on the mood I'm in, you know, what I'm into at the moment. But, you know, I'm a professional. I show up to the party.
You'll do a wedding.
You know, I'll do a wedding. I'll do a wedding. As I get older, you know, it's funny. You know, when you're younger, you're like, I won't play this. And anybody who plays this, you know, you get older, you're like, you know what? I just want people to have fun. I want to have fun, and we're going to get into it. And we're going to find a way to get everybody in this place going, you know?
Do you pay attention to that? Like,
oh,
if like three people are dancing and no one else is, you're like, I got to figure out how to get those other people on the rim to get.
Yeah, it's like playing chess, you know? And then you start, you know, do the math. You know, you look at the age group. You find out when they were in high school or maybe college. You try to, you know, there's that universal, you know, mix of stuff that almost everybody likes. And when that stuff's not working, you're like, okay, you're scratching your head. And then you just kind of say, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do me. I'm out. And then you look up and the place is going crazy. So it's funny because, you know, it's ever changing, you know, and the reality of it is our crowd's dropping off every year. They don't go out like they used to.
Yeah.
So, you know, it comes with the territory with the younger crowd, but it's just great to play. I've been doing more smaller spots because there's not as much of a focus to be current, you know, and people who are coming out specifically for the music if I'm doing an event.
Well, I mean, you've done a lot of hip hop in your career. You've also, I mean, I mentioned Elba Room, but I mean, you could go down the list from when I saw you putting the old Backtrack photos on Instagram, whether it be Funky Buddha Lounge or other clubs that you've played or spun at in your career. When you say original old school party, what does that mean?
Well, it seems like probably in the past 10, 15 years, everybody's kind of went crazy with old school. But in Chicago, that normally means like old school house or dance or maybe old school hip hop. And it's kind of been like the same old same, the same 30 cuts, you know, the go-to, the dirty 30, as they call them. So, you know, it's one of those things where when we were doing that, I don't even know if that word like old school dance party was even a thing, because we were doing it like 2001, maybe 99. So it was right out of, we were doing all the 80s stuff. You know, when it was maybe too soon to start doing 90s. So it was one of those things where, you know, everybody kind of went crazy with the old school stuff. So I stopped doing the party for a long time. And then I was at a dark room and I decided there were elements of the party I liked, but everybody was kind of playing the same stuff. So I wanted to get really, really focused on digging kind of deeper.
Well, give us an example for the audience that might be listening. What do you consider to be old school sort of party music when it comes to Chicago, what we might hear at Debonair?
Well, everybody, depending on your age, has their own old school. Originally, the party started out, it was an 80s thing. And it was like 80s across the board. as we move into the future, it made sense to incorporate 90s. But, you know, when we do this, it's not just the same old same. So you're going to hear pop stuff from the radio. You're going to hear the cool underground stuff and the house and, you know, disco and funk. But, I mean, we're at a point now where old school means so much, so many different things to so many different people.
Right, right.
So I want to really cover a little bit of that, but we want to dig deeper because, you know, everybody's kind of doing the same thing. So we need to, you know, since we kind of kicked this whole old school thing off, it's kind of going to be up to us to do something a little different with us, with the party.
Jesse De La Pena in studio with me tonight, longtime DJ here in Chicago. How did you get your start in this, man? Like, what was it? What was it that attracted you to the turntables, got you sort of thinking about playing in clubs?
Probably freshman year, eighth grade.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to Bogan High School. Well, but this was kind of pre-high school. This was like eighth grade. I went to a bunch of places. We moved around on the southwest side, eventually from the east side, South Chicago, South Deering. So if I would have stayed there, I would have probably went to maybe Washington. But I went to Bogan, southwest side, and went to a bunch of different schools. I went to Washburn, Latino Youth. I mean, I got to tell you, back then, I wasn't very scholarly. I was looking for the party. I was the break dancer. I was the graffiti
really?
Artist.
That was sort of like the entry point for you.
Hip-hop culture probably when it went more mainstream, 83, 84, when you started seeing movies like Beat Street and Break In and Wild Style. That kind of sparked something with me. And I kind of just, you know, it was all new to me, club culture and dances and stuff like that. So it all kind of, you know, in Chicago, you know, we didn't have a big hip-hop thing. You know, eventually I would listen to, you know, stations like WHBK, WNUR, and they were the ones playing underground hip-hop. But it was really hard to find that stuff here in Chicago. You'd have to, you know, put your antenna up and your tinfoil and get it just right, you know? And you know, you travel all over the city going to these parties, whether it was a DJ battle up north at the Rainbow or the Riviera. I mean, it was such a fun time. And
it's interesting, too, because I had the guys, the guys who did the Chosen Few, the Picnic, right? Those guys were in studio. We were talking about sort of the crossover beginnings of house, where in the late 70s, where disco kind of turned to house music. For you, you're a generation behind that.
Yes,
so
yes.
Talk about how underground house sort of turned to hip hop and where you could find that in the mid 80s. Where were you going? Where would Jesse De La Pena go to party?
Well, in the early days, it was like teen dances, banquet halls, you know, underground parties. I mean, that was kind of because we weren't of age, you know, and occasionally there'd be a bar situation, a club situation where it would be 21 and over to drink and maybe 18
right.
to get in. But, you know, we were going all the we were following the party. So we were up north at the Rainbow a lot. Like I said, the Riviera on Sundays, Tony Batoy, he was the promoter back then. But, you know, we had our share of parties on the south side. And this is probably way before I started DJing. I was just going to parties and just learning about what was happening in the underground scene in Chicago. And then eventually I, you know, made the plunge into DJing. It was just kind of hip-hop culture. You know, I was a graffiti artist. I was a break dancer. It seemed like a natural progression.
What did you have to do to get into DJing? I mean, you're obviously musically skilled in the way that you understood music, but what was it that, like, I mean, at that time it was not as it is now, where a lot of people could just program the stuff on the computer and press play. I mean, you really had to spin records and do a lot of stuff that was essentially a skill, not necessarily a talent.
Well, I was fortunate enough to have a couple friends who are actually DJs. So watching them and, you know, people you went to school with, and, you know, back then, if you really didn't know somebody, if you didn't have like an older brother or cousin, yeah, you had to figure it out on your own. And I was fortunate enough to have a few friends and to kind of watch them in a way where I could at least figure out some of it, you know, but it was kind of hands-on, you know, and you would have to do it on your own time. Because as a DJ, after you've kind of been through the whole idea of trying to figure it out and, you know, all the bad mixing and stuff, the last thing you want is another guy coming over and doing that on your time, you know? So all my friends were like, dude, you got to get your own equipment. You know,
can I come over and practice scratching? You're like, no, Jesse, get out of here. Get out of here, man.
But you know, it pushed me. It pushed me forward. Once I got my own stuff, you know, it was a good year and a half to figuring it out. But then things started happening, you know, and you don't ever set out. Well, I didn't set out to be like, I'm going to be a DJ. it just kind of like things just started going in that direction.
Let's stay on the hip hop culture stuff, because I remember seeing a photo of you, you know, sort of with the graffiti artist part of you. I forgot where I saw it, if it was a reader or it was on your Instagram, whatever it was. But it was, I mean, talk about hip hop culture in that time. I mean, graffiti art, it still is prevalent here in Chicago. It has a lot of risk involved. I mean, people don't like their garage being tagged and things of that nature. So talk about how that time and as a kid, sort of, you know, being someone who was attracted to that culture.
Well, you know, kind of like, it sounds a little corny, but like gangbanging back in the day, there were rules. There were like things you just didn't do, you know, churches and, you know, people's houses and stuff. You didn't touch stuff like that. It was more of transit and it was more like abandoned stuff. But, you know, there was no real rules. But, you know, same thing right now. It's just good that it's been embraced. You know, there are opportunities for young artists to kind of push things forward and, you know, make careers out of this. I mean, the guys that came up with like Design and Casper, I mean, they've done great things, you know. There's so many guys that are out there that, who knows, you know, hip hop for us back then was an alternative to getting in trouble. It kind of changed over the years once you got into NWA and the gangbanging.
But at the time, it was
an alternative.
Alternative.
To gangbanging and stuff. And you almost had like a pass in the hood. Oh, no, they're cool. They're B-boys or they're hip-hop. So, you know, that's what Chicago was like. You'd go to these neighborhoods where you normally, your folks probably wouldn't want you hanging out. But, you know, you were young. You were just trying to, you know, figure it all out for yourself. So back then, a lot of things, you know, one thing that people probably don't know is that, you know, when you think hip hop, you think the rapper, then you think the DJ. But in Chicago, a lot of that stuff was spawned by graffiti artists. And then, you know, that was kind of the first step into hip hop culture. And later, you know, the DJ and then the rapper. So it's interesting when you connect the dots.
When you made the transition, started getting proficient at spinning records and scratching records and getting into clubs and doing shows, talk about, you know, there was a time when, and I would say probably in the 90s, where there was the hip hop, the sort of club DJ was the rage. People wanted to come out. They, you know, I'm take it to where I was 20, 21 years old, where, you know, we would try to seek out where it was at. And talk about that sort of the riding that wave, because it did get really popular at one point.
Well, hip hop was much different back then because it wasn't so accessible. If you wanted to hear hip hop music, you'd literally have to find the right party. And sometimes, you know, it was in a bad neighborhood. Sometimes it was a little rough.
Sometimes it was the wrong party.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you'd have to seek these things out. And, you know, it wasn't on the radio like it is now. Or, you know, once it got really popular and, you know, started doing the radio commercial thing, things definitely changed. But, you know, when we were doing stuff at Elbow Room, you know, even before that, there were nights that would happen around town, like Lower Lynx, the Blue Gargoyle. These were parties that were going on. You know, we saw what they were doing and we decided, okay, we can do that. But, you know, that was like a nice like guide to how to get things started. But before then, you know, you'd kind of just have to really hope you ended up in this cool party. There were so many different little nights that kind of started and then ended. We did pretty good because we figured out we couldn't let the inmates run the asylum. We had to have some kind of structure. And that's kind of unheard of in hip hop. So, you know, when we started doing Blue Groove Lounge at Elbow Room and all those places like Double Door, we actually got people to show up early to sign the list to get on their mic. You know, you had one shot.
You organized what the actual performance was.
Yeah, yeah. And that was, you know, hip-hop, in that night, it spanned from a good dance floor, some breakers, you know, and we eventually started seeing girls going to hip-hop parties because in the early days, there were no girls at these hip-hop
all guys.
Parties. It's all guys. There'd be like two, and Ange 13 was probably one of the MCs, later MC, but, you know, she was one of the heads that would be there with the guys, and it would probably be Pete's girlfriend and maybe, you know, Dirty was talking to somebody. But yeah, it was a different scene. So, you know, it as it changed and it got very accessible, the party, you know, it kind of got a little diluted. And it just, everybody, you know, it was one of those, I'm not one of those guys that are like, in my day, and it was so great, it was gritty, it was underground. But, you know, there was good and bad in that. You know, as a business owner, you want to make some money. So in order for the party to continue, people had to kind of drink and spend some money so we can continue to do these parties. And, you know, once it went to like the Puff Daddy era and the bling,
right.
It got a little weird, you know?
Jesse De La Pena is my guest in studio, longtime DJ here in Chicago. He's hosting Backtrack, Chicago's original old school party. It returns tomorrow night at Debonair Social Club. Starts at 10 o'clock, Debonair Social Club up in Wicker Park, 1575 North Milwaukee. He's also a music curator and part of the Friday night DJ series at Vocalo 91.1. Yeah, I'm interested as, you know, as we wrap up here, we could talk so much about the culture. It has evolved in the way that you and we've talked about kind of at the beginning where we're getting older. You know, I know I'm not going to those places. And that was something I was going to Blue Groove Lounge at, you know, Double Door and Elbow Room and before. So how have you seen this, the club scene evolve over the years? I mean, how have you stayed relevant?
Well, I'm probably a little more selective in the stuff that I do now. And I'm realistic about it. You know, it's kind of like the majority of my crowd is a bit older. So we don't always do the weekly every, and we don't do it during the week like we used to.
Used to be like Tuesday night.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, that's not going to happen. It's going to be us, me and the bartender, and maybe some drunk that wanders in. But for the most part, I've made the parties a little more accessible. They're on the weekends. Maybe it's an event that happens once a year. Maybe it's a monthly thing. I mean, the Backtrack thing was an annual thing we would do for Memorial Day. We did it in big rooms. We've sold out, you know, Crowbar and all these big things, and it had a great life to it. But we decided we were going to put it to bed for a little bit because everybody started doing the old school thing. When it made sense to bring it back, and I feel like we're kind of matured, and now kind of it makes sense to kind of do it monthly and just kind of do it on our own terms where we can really go across the board and get people to look forward to it because it was an event. Get the babysitters, get get everything.
You gotta get the babysitter to come out to the club, man.
We're doing daycare in the next room. So bring your kids.
Yes. Perfect. Okay, let me ask you this. You know, there is such a healthy community of DJs around your generation that continue to work, and you give them opportunity at Vocalo and other places to come in and spin or to do a series on the radio. And do you keep up? How do you keep up with that community? And do you pay attention to the young DJs who might be coming up and you know, are doing the Tuesday night show and bringing crowds out and things like that?
It's a balancing act, you know, because, yeah, I would love to be out every night like I used to. I still make it out. I still kind of find out where the cool party or who's kind of the up-and-coming DJ. And I think through the Vocalo shows, we have an opportunity to get those demos and get those like referrals of people to watch, the ones to watch. So yeah, it's a balancing act, but you know, and it's a little harder to keep track of it because there are so many DJs. But I think I do a good job of putting it out there. And you know, radio in Chicago, mix shows has always been really controversial and very clicky. We've tried to change that where if you're a good DJ, there's no strings.
Well, there's
attached.
Always been. It's almost been one DJ gets a spot, whether it be on B96 or something, and that's the DJ, and they're protective of that space.
Oh yeah, and that's maybe it's a Chicago thing, but yeah, we've really tried to change that and really give people an opportunity that hey, if you got the skills, you're serious about it, send us a demo, and that's how we built our DJ collective. We've had competitions, and you know, we wouldn't say battle because when you say battle, it turns into something different because a lot of house DJs and dance music DJs would probably never even enter because they think they would have to be a scratch trick DJ. We focus on creativity, you know, and we really are just trying to broaden the conversation when it comes to DJs. I mean, there's a lot of older guys that kind of hate on the younger guys and younger guys vice versa, but we are trying to bridge that.
Do you have any, you know, personal opinion on the fact that the music has changed in the way that now the skill of a DJ may be more aided and abetted by the computer, but you know, everyone brings their laptop up and they press the button and they're like, I'm a DJ, as opposed to what you guys had to do and the scratch and tricks, as you were just saying.
I enjoy the technology. I mean, it took me a while to kind of warm up to it, but you know, it's one of those things where there's certain things you can't do with just records. I mean, it's back and forth. I still buy records. I still buy 45s, but you got to be open to it. You got to be able to kind of show up and whatever the equipment situation is, you got to be able to kind of know how to do this thing.
You got to bring your mini disc.
Your beta player, old school.
Jesse De La Pena, a great Chicago DJ. He is hosting Backtrack, Chicago's original old school party. It's tomorrow night at Debonair Social Club, 1575 North Milwaukee Avenue. You can also check him out at Vocalo with the DJ Collective, which is at 91.1. Jesse, great to see you. Thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks for having me.